I'd like to invite you this morning to take your Bibles and...
Oh, turned the wrong one. There we go.
And open them.
Well,
I guess I didn't get it. Try it this way. One more time. There we go. To Psalm 1. And I'm going to read the entire Psalm. That's Psalm 1, 1 through 6. Invite you to follow along. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Would you, at this point in time, describe yourself as a saint or a sinner? A saint or a sinner? In our context that we just read, we see that there's a very clear line drawn between the two. It's a possibility, though, that you might be of the mind of John Calvin and his followers that believe that God selects those who are saved. And once selected, that a person cannot be removed from God's saving hand. That is the impossibility of apostasy. Well, actually, we understand that this can't be from the Scriptures. There are many warnings in the Scriptures about not returning to the sinful life that we have left. Hebrews 6 and verses 4 through 6. Very specifically informs us that it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify for themselves again the Son of God and put him to open shame. Obviously, the possibility of apostasy. And Hebrews 10, verse 26 and 27 says, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. We realize that a child of God, indeed a sinner, a saint, may commit sins from time to time. And he may repent, as indeed he should. In 1 John 1 and verse 8, John points, he's writing to Christians now, and he says, if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Unfortunately, though, many Christians take this too far. And they talk about all the sins that they commit every day in the sight of God. What is the problem? Well, they don't put themselves in the position of being a saint. They want to still have a little part of the sinner in them. And it's either one or the other. You can't have them both. In fact, there are only two classes of people discussed in the scriptures. There are sinners and the righteous. In Romans 5 and 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Sinners and the righteous. In our reading from Psalm 1, two groups of people are identified and they are not to be together. They are not to be intermingled. Matthew 13, 36 through 43. The parable of the wheat and the tares. The righteous are the wheat. The tares are the wicked. They exist in this world together, but will be separated at judgment. It is for sinners God gave the law. 1 Timothy 1 and 8, beginning with verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. It was for the sake of sinners that Christ came. In 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Paul viewed himself as the chief of sinners, but no more. Romans 5 and verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, we were sinners, but Christ died for us. That fixed the problem. This is the reason why we take the gospel to the lost in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. All must appear before the judgment seat of God or of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. We persuade men. Why? Because of the terror of the Lord. It's either one or the other. In James chapter 5 and verse 20, James says, Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. A sinner cannot keep on pursuing sin without paying the price. And actually, the righteous are just saved with difficulty. If you look over in 1 Peter 4 and verse 18, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Notice the distinction between the righteous and the sinner. There are two separate things. Two separate things. Sinners, however, can be converted to righteousness. We read over in Psalm 51:13, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Those who are saved have been set apart from sin. 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Now, the child of God then, the righteous one, is not to live a life of continual sin. How can we make sure that we understand this? Well, let's look at some passages from 1 John. In 1 John 1, or 2, I'm sorry. 1 John 2, verse 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him, and when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Get that? Those who belong to God practice righteousness. It is a part of their daily lives. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. If we hope to live with God, we will purify ourselves of all unrighteousness. What does that mean about our daily living? Our daily living will be according to God's will. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now, the contrast, sinners practice lawlessness. Sin is a part of their everyday lives, whereas the righteous don't practice lawlessness. Sin is not a part of their everyday life. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now, that's a long reading, but I want to sum it up for you. We're not talking here about a person who lives a life of sinless perfection. That's not what we're talking about. It's a person whose life does not normally include sin. A person whose life, sin is something that pops up now and then. It's not their manner of life. Do you see the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous? The unrighteous pursues sin, and he does it without any concern. He just pursues sin. But there is a distinction between the sinners and the righteous, and that distinction is great. What does it mean that whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God? The word practice means what? Your manner of life. Your manner of life. Your manner of life is what? Righteousness. That's your manner of life. On the other hand, those who practice lawlessness or sin, they are of the devil, and they will meet the same fate as the devil. Simple as that. Simple as that. Now, 1 John chapter 3, and on with our reading, verse 21 through 24. Our heart does not condemn us because we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because, why? We keep his commandments and do the things pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. The righteous work to keep God's commandments. That is what their life is all about. That's what their life is all about. The unrighteous couldn't care less. The unrighteous couldn't care less. They are out to please self, to make self happy, to pursue what self wants without any regard for what God says. Simple as that. 1 John chapter 2, or chapter 5 and verse 2 and verse 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, what does that say? What does it say? It says the love of God is keeping his commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, what does that mean? You don't love God. Simple as that. Just as simple as that. That particular passage of scripture can give us great confidence as we go on through our lives. Now, one more. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now, the main point here is that the world, and remember all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But our master is God. And because it is God, we do not continually sin. Notice, we know that whatever is born of God does not sin. That doesn't really give the whole meaning of the text there, because the word means does not go on sinning. Does not go on sinning. Or what? Living in sin. He is born of God, keeps himself. The wicked one does not touch him. He doesn't want anything to do with the wicked one. He doesn't want anything to do with him. Now, all of these passages do not say that a child of God never sins. They say that he does not live in sin. That's what they say. The sinner doesn't care about God's law and doesn't do God's law. He does what he wants. Paul makes the same statement in Romans 6, verse 17 and 18. Look at it here. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Get it? You did what you wanted to do when you were over here. You were a slave of sin. Now you've been delivered from that, and you've been set free from it, and become a slave of righteousness. Jesus stated that a good tree does not produce bad fruit. We all understand that principle. It's quite simple. A good tree does not produce bad fruit. But this does not mean that a Christian is somebody who doesn't manage to do something, or an unbeliever, an unrighteous man, isn't someone who doesn't manage to do something right once in a while. We understand that. It doesn't mean also that a saint doesn't slip once in a while. You know, I've got a neighbor that's a good man. He's a good man. He's a good father, good husband, does nice things, but you know what? He doesn't have any regard for God. Doesn't have regard, but doesn't mean he doesn't do some good things. And he does a lot of bad things too. But he does some good things. But a Christian does not pursue unrighteousness. His general trend is to do what is right. Look at Ephesians 2 with me, if you will, please. Verses 1 through 5. And you he made alive, who is speaking to the Ephesians, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. What does he mean by nature, children of wrath? The word nature means that you are what you are by long practice. By long practice. It's used in the sense that when you drive your car, you don't think about putting your foot on the brake. You don't think about putting your foot on the gas. You do it by nature. Why? Because you've done it so long. You've done it so long. It becomes natural to you. And they had been children of wrath, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the desires of the mind. They were by nature children of wrath. But God, who is rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, what did he do? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Remember last week's lesson? Grace. By grace you have been saved. We are not what we are by virtue of our own righteousness, but because God has been gracious to us, we are what we are. We become, in fact, and this is a glorious thing to contemplate, partakers of the divine nature. Read 2 Peter with me, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, as his power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see the big difference between the person who pursues righteousness and the person who pursues lawlessness. Partakers of the divine nature. It is obvious, even to the casual observer, that Christ does not promote sin. In Galatians 2, verse 17, Paul said, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin?" Certainly not. "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." So, what are you? A saint or a sinner? Christ died for you to be a saint. To be called out. Set apart for that purpose. But being justified by Christ, we're not to be found sinners. Now think about it. A saint is not a sinner. Now, we may indeed stumble from time to time and maybe even fall in our fight against Satan. But as we mold our lives to conform to God's nature, sin becomes less and less obvious and frequent. We do not live in sin. That's the difference. We do not we may sin, but we don't live in it. We don't live in it. Sin is not a part of our daily lives. Now, if indeed any of these statements are not true, then we need to examine ourselves and find out why. Why? Why is it that I just sin all the time? Why is it that sin is just a part of my daily life? I sin, sin, sin. There's got to be some reason for it. And maybe some deep soul searching needs to be done. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 11, John says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, and he who does evil has not seen God." Now that's just as plain as it can be. Just as plain as it can be. Are you a saint or a sinner? Because you can't be both. You're one or the other. That's it. You may be a saint who occasionally stumbles and even falls from time to time, but gets himself right back up and repents, asks God's forgiveness, and presses on to the goal. But if you're a sinner, you just go on sinning and, well, that's okay. I'll make that up some other day. And on and on we go. Which is it? You can't have it both ways. One or the other. As you ponder this thought today, ponder the thoughts concerning where you are with respect to God right now. Have I been obedient to God's will, or have I shunned it? Have I been obedient to the will of God, or have I said, well, that's something I'll do someday. Someday. Well, you know where that puts you. I know where that puts you. You're not in the category of a saint. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to go on pursuing the life that you now live? Or are you going to repent, change your life, turn your life around and be a servant of God? That's what our prayer is, that you'll do that. And if you're a child of God, but you've allowed yourself to be caught up in the things of this world, and gradually, you find yourself living more for sin than living for righteousness, you got problems. You got real problems. Why not acknowledge that sin? Pray God to forgive you. Be restored back to faithful service again, and pursue a life of righteousness.